Okay, well, let's begin at 1 Kings chapter 22. I have several goals here for our time together tonight. One of them is to finish our journey through 1 Kings, and we're already into 2 Kings, so we'll keep going from there. So that's one goal. A second goal, we finished last week our survey of the life of Elijah. So we're ready to begin looking at the life of Elisha. But we're not going to start that tonight because we're going to try to get the whole context of the kings in Judah and Israel during his time. So when you look at your notes tonight and you say, well, we see all those kings, southern kings and northern kings, the question should be, why did I stop where I stopped on your chart? Well, let me tell you the reason. If under the northern kings you find Ahab and Ahaziah, right under Ahab, and you see Ahab died in 853, Ahaziah died in 852, and Jehoram became king in 852. That was the same year Elijah was caught up into heaven, 852. Now, why did I stop at Jehoash at the bottom of the northern kings list? It is because Jehoash was the king of Israel at the time that Elisha died. Elisha died in 795 BC during the reign of Jehoash. So what I'm trying to do here is give you enough of a picture so that you can see the climate of things during the life of Elisha, which, Lord willing, will start next Wednesday night. A third goal for this evening: I think you're going to see how good, godly people can make a real mess, especially of their families, but through that, in this case, even an entire country. And we'll see how that happens in our study tonight. So those are some things we'll be looking at. We obviously won't have time tonight to look at all of the verses and passages that are listed on your notes. So some of those you'll have to check out on your own, but we are going to look at some. So, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. We met him in 1 Kings chapter 22, and I won't read all of that now, but I will read in 1 Kings chapter 22 from verse 41 to verse 50. So this is 1 Kings 22, beginning at verse 41. Now Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. He walked in all the way of Asa his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel, which, as we'll see, wasn't necessarily a good thing. But we'll look at that. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might, which he showed, and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, which is not the book of Chronicles in the Bible? That's the Judean court records. And so we take it that that statement is true, but we don't have those court records. The remnant of, verse 46, the remnant of the Sodomites who remained in the days of his father Asa, he expelled from the land. That was a good thing. Now, there was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go far, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber, and we'll learn why tonight. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat was not willing, and Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David. And Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. We can see in those verses that Jehoshaphat did start with a good foundation. And so we saw how he walked in a way that was doing right in the sight of the Lord. He rid Judah of Sodomites. So, you know, those were good things. Now, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 17. Early in Jehoshaphat's reign, he actually had a revival in Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Jehoshaphat, his son, then became king in his place and made his position over Israel firm. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days and did not seek the Baals. So that was good, wasn't it? Verse 4, but sought the God of his father, followed his commandments, and did not act as Israel did. So Judah, now following Jehoshaphat, is beginning to act in a godly way, unlike Israel. So, verse 5, the Lord established the kingdom in his control, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat. He had great riches and honor. He took pride in the ways of the Lord and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. Then in the third year of his reign, he sent officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them, the Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tabadonijah, the Levites. And with them, Elishama and Jehoram, the priests. Now here's what's really interesting. Verse 9. They taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. Okay? Now, here's a great lesson. How do you have revival? The answer is teach the Bible. Teach the Bible. Say, well, aren't there some other clues? No. That's it. It's from the Word of God. Teach the Bible. And that's what Jehoshaphat sent them out to do all over Judah. And as a result, the rest of chapter 17, there was fear of them among their enemies, so nobody was attacking them. Gifts were brought. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat grew greater and greater, built fortresses and store cities in Judah. He had large supplies in the cities of Judah, warriors, valiant men in Jerusalem, and so forth. Chapter 17. Chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles. At verse 4, so Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem and went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim. That's, we might say, all the way from the south of Judah to the north. and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges in the land, in all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. He said to the judges, "Consider what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment." How would that be as a message to judges, Supreme Court justices? You're not here to serve your country. You're here to serve God. How would that be? You're not here to get things right for people. You're here to get things right before God. That's how you make justice decisions. What does God want? Wow. See, that's what a country looks like when there's revival. Okay? Is America in revival right now? Not even close. Right? Yeah, not even close. So that goes on down through verse 11. But you can see how good things are happening at the beginning of Jehoshaphat's reign. And I did put in your notes here, he actually did begin to reign about 3 years before Asa died, according to 1 Kings 15, 23 and 24. Because you'll remember Asa had some disease in his feet and had that for about 3 years before he finally died. So Jehoshaphat was already ruling even before his father died. Okay. Jehoshaphat had some significant victories. One was over the Arameans, or the Syrians, and that is what we have read about in 1 Kings 22, 1 through 40. Remember, that was the battle where Ahab was killed. But Jehoshaphat won and went home safely from that. So we see that also in 2 Chronicles 18, 1 through 19, 1. So that was a great victory. Jehoshaphat had another great victory a little later over the Moabites and the Ammonites. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You probably know this account. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Moabites and the Ammonites were attacking Jehoshaphat. That was reported to him. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a national fast, and he called the whole of Judah to prayer. Okay, Jehoshaphat didn't consult his military leaders. He consulted the Lord. So he got them all to pray before the Lord. And he's asking the Lord to drive out the Ammonites and the Moabites and give Jehoshaphat victory. And the Lord answered through a prophet, Jehaziel, chapter 20, verse 14. And he told, you can look at chapter 20, verse 15. He told them, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." He says, verse 17, "You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." And they did, and you'll remember Jehoshaphat put the choir on the front lines. Okay? How did they win this battle? They sang. That's amazing, isn't it? Because the battle is the Lord's. And so, verse 22 says, "When they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." That's the Edomites were involved in that too. "Who had come against Judah, so they were routed. The sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. When they had finished with the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another." So, you know, the choir sang, and Judah's enemies just all attacked and killed each other. And Jehoshaphat got all the spoils of victory. So that was a great victory. So there are some great things throughout the life of Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat made some blunders, particularly three dangerous alliances. Now, the first of those was a marriage alliance with Ahab. Chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. "Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab." Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 6. Tells us, and this is concerning Jehoram, who was Jehoshaphat's son. Jehoram, chapter 21, verse 6, walked in the way of the kings of Israel, not in the way of Jehoshaphat or Judah or David, just as the house of Ahab did. Why? For Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So, what was Jehoshaphat's marriage alliance with Ahab? Jehoshaphat had his son marry Ahab's daughter. Now, Ahab's daughter, you realize she's also Jezebel's daughter. So, you know, would you agree that was not a very good choice on the part of Jehoshaphat to encourage his son to do that? But this was a political marriage. He was trying to make peace with Ahab. And we saw, I mean, Solomon had done that a lot, hadn't he? You know, he had entered into marriages mostly for political reasons. So that's what happened here. Now, we're going to see this produces a real mess. But let's look at the other alliances first. So a marriage alliance with Ahab. He also entered into a military alliance with Ahab, which we saw in 1 Kings 22, 2 through 4, and we can see it also in 2 Chronicles 18, 2 and 3, and 19, 2 and 3. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we see that that wasn't such a good thing either. Of course, remember, Ahab died as a result of that alliance. But in 2 Chronicles 19, 1 and 2, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord?" In other words, this prophet Jehu, who is not, by the way, the same guy as the king of Israel, Jehu, who came later. But this prophet Jehu said to him, "By entering into this alliance with Ahab, you have brought wrath from the Lord on yourself." So that wasn't such a good deal, was it? And the third alliance that he made with Ahaziah, who was Ahab's son, and we're going to look at him tonight. And we see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 35 through 37. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. He acted wickedly in so doing. So he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." So the ships were broken and could not go to Tarshish. So that alliance didn't work well at all, but here it's called evil. Okay. Now, because of these alliances, and especially the marriage alliance, let's begin to look at what happens. And you may look back on the front page on your chart again, if that helps you for this, because we're not going to look up all the verses that are there, but I put them in your notes so that you can read them all. You see Jehoshaphat under southern kings, Judah. He ruled from 873 to 848 BC. That's when he died. He was followed by his son, Joram, or sometimes you'll see it, Jehoram. We'll talk about that also, because this is where it starts getting pretty confusing in sorting out the kings. Jehoram, who began to rule in 848 when Jehoshaphat died and ruled to 841, he was the one who had married Ahab's daughter. Ahab's daughter, who married Jehoram, her name was Athaliah. Now, if you look under Joram, under the southern kings, you will see his son, Ahaziah, who only ruled a very short time. And then you will see Athaliah. Now, if you try to draw lines from Athaliah to a bunch of these people, you'll begin to see how this gets pretty confusing. So, do you see Athaliah there on the chart? Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab on the right side. Northern kings, Israel, you see Ahab. Ahab is Athaliah on the left-hand side. He is her father. Jezebel was her mother. That makes Omri, who was before Ahab, Athaliah's grandfather. And it makes Ahaziah, after Ahab, under the northern kings, Athaliah's brother. He was a son of Ahab and Jezebel, so was she. So she is the granddaughter of Omri, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the sister of Ahaziah, and Jehoram on the northern king's side after Ahaziah, who became king. He was actually the king when Elijah was taken to heaven. Jehoram would have been Athaliah's nephew. So she was the aunt of Jehoram. She also was the wife of Joram on the southern king's side. She was the mother of Ahaziah, who preceded her. He was king, and when he died, she became queen. And the Jehoash that followed her as king of Judah in the south was actually Ahaziah's son, who had been hidden from her for 6 years while she was reigning, before he could come into prominence when she died. And he would have been her grandson, who she actually wanted to kill. So she was one evil person. You know, very evil. But do you see? So, wow. Probably the Ahaziah, who was the son of Joram on the southern kingdom side, was probably named for Ahaziah on the northern kingdom side, because that would have been his uncle through his mother. So, do you see how? So, you begin to say, well, when I read through 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, seems like a whole bunch of the names are the same. But that's why you have to discern, is this a king of Judah or is this a king of Israel? Because there are people with the same name, but they're actually different people. And one of them is in the north and one of them is in the south. So how did that get so confusing? It's because Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Ahab and used his son and Ahab's daughter to do that. And then because of that, there were all of these family interconnections between the north and the south that probably shouldn't have ever been. What a mess. I mean, was that hard to follow? Yeah, I think so. If it was hard to follow, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. You know, sinful decisions can produce pretty confusing consequences, can't they? This is a lesson of what can happen in your family if you end up making decisions like, you know, getting married to people you shouldn't, and stuff like that. You know, it can produce a real mess. And that's what it did here. So there's quite a lesson to be learned. So Joram followed Jehoshaphat. Joram was married to Athaliah. They had a son, Ahaziah, who died after only ruling for a very short time, not even a year. Then Jehoash, son of Ahaziah, Athaliah's grandson, began to reign, and he was followed by Amaziah. And Amaziah would have been king of Judah at the time Elisha died. So from 852 BC to 795 BC, that is the ministry of Elisha. Now, Ahaziah, king of Israel. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 51 through 53. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. 853-852. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, who was Ahab, and in the way of his mother, who was Jezebel, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger according to all that his father had done. So he was an evil Baal worshiper, just like Ahab and Jezebel were. And he continued that. We've already read in 2 Chronicles 20, 35 through 37. He was the one who made the commercial alliance with Jehoshaphat to build ships. And that didn't turn out so well. Now, we're actually moving on from 1 Kings now. 2 Kings chapter 1, which we did look at when we surveyed the life of Elijah, because this is where he calls down fire from heaven on Ahaziah's men. But in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. So he fell through a lattice work, apparently was injured and became ill from that. We're not told exactly what the illness was. Maybe it was some kind of an infection or gangrene or something. I don't know what it might have been. Elijah showed up along the way, told the men that were going to inquire of Beelzebub that Ahaziah was going to die from this. Ahaziah heard about it, recognized in chapter 1, verse 8, this must have been Elijah who said this. So he begins sending men with captains and then a platoon of 50 to go and visit Elijah, and their point is to bring Elijah to come and see Ahaziah, which Elijah said, I'm not going to do. And they pushed him to come. When Elijah said no and they kept pushing, Elijah called down fire from heaven and wiped out the first platoon, the second platoon, and when it came time for the third platoon, that captain came begging, and Elijah said, okay, I'll go this time at the Lord's direction. And he again said that Ahaziah will die. And in verse 17 of chapter 1, Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. So do you see there's a Jehoram under Ahaziah on your chart, under Israel, and there's Joram, also called Jehoram, under Jehoshaphat. Okay, so those are two different people, but you can see how that relates. So this is Jehoram of Israel who follows then Ahaziah. And so you can see him in chapter 3 of 2 Kings and chapter 9 of 2 Kings. And he died also in 841 BC. He was actually killed by Jehu, who is not a relation to Jehoram. And Jehu becomes king in 2 Kings 9, which we will see, but you might remember the Lord told Elijah to anoint Jehu, which Elijah did through Elisha. And so when we get to 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10, we will actually see it is Elisha who anoints Jehu as king over Israel. And Jehu is a godly king in Israel, in the north, which you do understand up until that point, they haven't had any from Jeroboam on. They were all Baal worshipers. So that's Jehu. He is followed by Jehoahaz in 2 Kings 13. And he is followed by Jehoash, which is a different Jehoash from the one who was king in Judah. And during the reign of Jehoash is when Elisha dies, about 795 BC. So, we've kind of been all over the place here tonight. But what this is designed to do is prepare us then for the ministry of Elisha that takes place during the time of these kings from in Israel, the north, from Jehoram to Jehoash. That is Elisha's time of ministry. And that's where we'll pick up, Lord willing, next time. Do you see Jehoshaphat did well when he followed the Lord, and he had great revival and great victory. Jehoshaphat made a real mess when he compromised. Those kinds of alliances, I mean, an alliance with Ahab and Jezebel is really an alliance with the devil. You know, it really is. Alliances with those who are unsaved, who are evil, whatever, those things do not turn out well. They require the kind of compromise that turns into confusion. So, if you got a little confused tonight, I understand that. My intent wasn't to confuse you. My intent was to show that confusion results from compromise. And it does. It is important to follow the Lord and obey the word wholeheartedly, not having, you know, 1 foot in the Word and 1 foot in the world, you know, but to be all in the Word. Heavenly Father, as we pray tonight, we do realize that the kinds of errors that people in Judah and Israel made are the kinds of errors that are being made all around the world and in our own country even tonight. And so, Lord, apart from a revival of the Word of God, apart from a biblical revival, not an emotional revival, but a biblically obedient revival, there will just continue to be growing confusion in our land. Lord, we see the confusion getting more complicated every day. And so, Father, may the teachers of your word teach it and teach it clearly so that there might be revival in the land. Lord, should that not be the case because of your time, we do realize that this is a time very near to the rapture of the church and then the beginning of the tribulation period in judgment upon this world. Lord, may there be reprieve. May there be the revival of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.